Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Okay, now what we're doing, last week we went over the issues of, last week and the weeks prior, we went over the issue of verse 14 where it says, for many as are led by the Spirit of God. And we looked at that part, and then we looked at the part the end of the verse that says, they are the sons of God. And what we're being seen is, what we're being seen here is that we are told how God would have the saint in Christ to live on to him, how he would have him to be led. And that would be by the Spirit of God. That's by the Word of God. And again, anytime you see that word by the Spirit of God, you can replace it with Word of God, because it's the actual working of the Holy Ghost ministry that you find the Spirit working, going to work. And like Paul said, the Spirit speaketh expressly. And that's because that's the mechanics today. This is how we are educated. We're educated by the Word of God, the living Word from the living God living in us, being written on the fleshly tables of our heart. That's how we are taught and we are led today, being led by God, not of this world. And again, now we're here in verse 15 now, when Paul says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. When you're looking at that, when Paul says you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, what this means, this is not some type of paranormal, ghostly type of spirit here. And oftentimes when you look at a lot of apostolic churches and things of that nature, they teach a doctrine that everything that goes on with you is a spirit. Oh, he must have a spirit of something or whatever. That's not what this is about. When it says you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, that spirit of bondage is talking about the law. It's talking about the law system. It was a law-motivated type of works. And what it was is that the saint at that time, what he would do is his drive and his motivation is based upon, if you do, then I will, or if you don't, then I will curse you. And that was a fear motivated. Not to say we should not have a godly fear today, but this is talking about a whole different situation here when it talked about that law that Israel is placed upon, that they chose to enter into. Now, and Paul says here, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, that spirit of bondage again to fear, that's fear motivated. But today we base our walk upon grace motivated. We allow grace to be our motivation. We allow the fact of looking at all the mercies of God that was showed to us up from Romans 3:21, even up until this point here. And then we're going to see later on that there were also, when we're talking about being conformed to the image of his son, there's all those mercies and things that God has done for you there. And our walk, our sanctified walk, should not be based upon fear, but it should be based upon grace, peace, and mercy. And we have received, and Paul is telling you the benefits you have here. He says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that spirit of adoption is, God, again, like I said at the outset of the study, God wants you to not only just be justified in him and bring forth that victory on the cross and what that accomplished in the death of his son, but he also wants that sanctified life of yours to take hold. He's offering that adoption there. And when you look at the issue of being sons in Christ, or the terminology I like to use, sonship, you're looking at something here where now the son, well, the saint, is wanting to accept that spirit of adoption. And we can take a look, we can look at our children, and we can see how when you get ones who are ready to get out there on their own, they're ready to fly the coop, they're ready to be all you call them to be as an adult, what you've groomed them for, what you've whether you send them through school or whether you was on them about their education and things like that so they can be a better person. And you want them to now, when they get out there in the world, they're ready to be like father, like son, or like father, like daughter. Whereas everything you've taught them has been according to the way you've instituted it, not the way this world has instituted it with them. Because we know our children can fall after this world and be led astray. They can be led astray in doing the things of this world and end up like we see, you see on the news and things like that, because they're following the course of this world. But what God the Father is asking us to do is that he says, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. This is something that is extended to all saints. All saints have the ability to want that adoption and be what God calls them to be. And like it says, whereby we cry, Abba Father. This is what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did when he was in that garden in Gethsemane, when he was in the garden and he was getting ready to be what God called him to be on that cross and take on the adversary and things of that nature. This is what, and when we cry, Abba Father, we're crying, Abba Father, because we're ready to take on what our Father has in store for us. That's why you see the doctrine here in Romans chapter 8, because now you're being introduced to the sufferings of this present time. You're being introduced to the sufferings of this present time where your body is going to go through sufferings. Your mind, your hearts are going to start to be overwhelmed by what the course of this world, because of the bondage of sin, has in store for it. So you're going to need some doctrine. You're going to need to understand about suffering with him, being a joint heir and suffering with Christ, and knowing what all that's about, and the victory, the hope doctrine that we've been given to get us through and use that comforter the way God intended for it to be, for salvation from our suffering that we go through, deliverance from our tribulation that we go through because of the written word of God that is meant to work effectually within us. Now, if you will, let's turn your Bibles to, come over here to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to take a look at this, the issue of that spirit of bondage again to fear. Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 14. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now at the outset here in verse 14, Paul says, for ye, sin shall not have, what? Dominion over you. And when you look at that word dominion, it's what Paul says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, what that law did, that law had dominion over you. The law had dominion over you, though the ones that were under the law had dominion over them, anyone that tries to place themselves back under the law. There is a bondage. There is a dominion. And any of these other words that we're going to take a look at, obedience. And as Paul says in verse 16 here, he says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. That word obey is used twice, and obedience. Because you can allow yourselves to be led instead of by the Spirit, but by the law system. You know, and we've looked at that before when we went over this doctrine here about how a saint can put themselves back under that law system. So your motivation to not wanting to kill, steal, commit fornication, adultery, whatever, covetousness, all the other things, your motivation should not be, well, if I do this, I'm going to go to hell. Your motivation should be, that's not who God has made me to be in Christ. I'm being conformed to the image of His Son. I have His righteousness now. And that should be our motivation, as the end of verse 16 says, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. This is the, when you obey something, when you're obedient to it, you tend to be led by it. It tends to rule you and reign supreme over you. And again, bondage, the dominion concept here. Let's come to Romans chapter 7. And I'm just touching on a little bit of these things to refresh your memory of what we've went over in the past. Let's look over Romans chapter 7, and let's look at verse 5. Because we looked at the whole idea of being a slave or a servant unto the law. And now when you come to Romans chapter 8, Paul knows you should understand some particular doctrines very well. And this is why he feels you can handle the issues of what are you to do when you go through sufferings. But see, a Romans chapter 6 saint couldn't do that. Nor could a Romans chapter 7 saint. He could not handle the sufferings of this present time the way God intends for son and daughter in Christ to handle it. Because Paul's given a little bit of information at a time, and he's building the saint up. He's edifying the saint from Romans 6 to Romans 7, on up all the way out through Romans 16, or all the way out from Romans through Philemon. It's an edification from milk to meat process. Romans chapter 7, let's look at verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now ye are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, when you're looking at this here, Paul says the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. It's the only thing it could bring forth is fruit unto death, functional death. Verse 6, but now we are what? Delivered from the law. That's that bondage. That's the other word like Paul used when he said, when he mentioned about obeying and things of that nature. You know, and he used the terminology dominion. Now you see the word used is held. Wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. Now when you're serving in newness of spirit, you notice it's a small S. It's not the capital S spirit. It's serving in newness of your spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The newness, your spirit, your inner man is being told that we would serve. And this is how we ought to serve. But the natural man is going to automatically want to serve based upon the law. And we're told here, and not in the oldness of the letter, according to the law. Now let's come down to verse 22 while you're in Romans chapter 7 here. Come down to verse 22. Romans 7, verse 22. Paul says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, this used to cause me a lot of problems dealing with Romans chapter 7 here, because I would say, wait a minute, Paul says in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Then Paul goes in chapter 7, and he starts talking about we're supposed to follow or serve the law of God. Well, what that law of God is it's when he says you're not under the law, you're under grace, that's the way that God would have you to live unto him. The law of God is the law of grace. That's the legal way that God is. He wants you to live by the law of grace, by love. So as all your decision-making, whatever you do as a saint and son in Christ, is going to be based upon love. That's how you walk after love or serve, as Paul says in verse 25, serve the law of God. And I want to go over that real quick while we're here. Come to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 6 here. Romans 8, verse 6. Paul says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now we know that's functional life and functional death. But the carnal, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Now Paul is saying here that the carnal mind is against God and it's not subject to the law. In the flesh cannot please God. Now, we see what that is here, but let's back up here. Let's back up here to verse 4. Back up here to verse 4 here. I wanted to touch on that first. Let's go to verse 4 here. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. Now, you see that you can, it says the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is saying that the righteousness of the law can be fulfilled in us if we walk after the Spirit. And let's see how that's done. Come over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And let's see how we can do that there. Romans chapter 13, and let's look at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Paul says you will love one another, love, grace, peace, and mercy, charity. But he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You see that? Love is the fulfilling of the law. Now let's go over to Galatians. Go to Galatians, and then after we're done with that, because I'm jumping off subject here, but after we look at that, then what we're going to do is get back on the issue of the bondage here. But let's go to Galatians, and let's look at Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yes, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, you see Paul says, walk in the Spirit. This is similar to being led of the Spirit. Now, first you're told to be led of the Spirit. Now you're told to walk in it. Because that's the steps there. A Galatians thing is further along than a Roman saint. And when you, that's why he's being told to walk in this, not just to be led in it, but to walk in it. Now, come over to while you're here in chapter 5, come to verse 23. Chapter 5, verse 23. Well, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying another. Notice he says, live in the Spirit, not just be led of it, and also let us also walk in the Spirit. Now come down to chapter 6 here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, you're seeing you can fulfill the law. Not the law according to the oldness of the letter, but according to newness of spirit. Doing it by grace. And you notice, what's the motivation here? Love. He says, bear ye another's burdens. What that means is not just help another saint, but whatever his burden is, you ought to show that love where it's now your burden. Now you're taking upon what he looked more at this issue on bondage here. Matter of fact, let's come back to Romans chapter 7. Come back to Romans chapter 7, and we're going to take a look at another issue here. Romans chapter 7, and let's look at verse 22. Romans 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, worn against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now Paul is saying here, he's saying he delights in the law of God after the inward man. And we just looked at what that is, how we ought to serve, how we ought to make all our decision makings based upon love, charity, grace. That's how we ought to be led. That's how, when you look at the saints, when Paul writes to Philemon, you know, the epistles, they get shorter and shorter, because when you have a educated son, there's not much you need to say to that son. And when he looks at Philemon, he tells Philemon, he says, I know you're going to do more than I say. And he doesn't have to give him that much information. He just beseeches him to do something a certain way. But he knows his decision-making is going to be based upon grace, peace, mercy, love. And you see Paul says here again, he says, in verse 23, he says, but I see another law of my members worn against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. It's another word used there. We've seen dominion. We've seen bondage. We've seen held captivity. You see what the law is capable of doing when you want to place yourself back under that law? Paul says, O wretched man that I am. And he's talking about one who's trying to live his life under that law. He said, who shall deliver me? He needs to be delivered now from captivity, bondage, being held, dominion. But he says he's going to serve the law of God. And that's with the inner man. Now we can go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, I'm going to stop right there because that's what you see when you see it says, when you were looking at the spirit of adoption over there in Romans chapter 8 there, the spirit of adoption. And Paul says here that God hath sent forth the spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days, months, times, and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Now, Paul is saying, again, he uses the word terminology of bondage. And he says, you're not a servant, but a son. Because when we looked at that issue of adoption, we've seen that when the child was brought up, he had tutors and governors. The tutors took the son and taught the son all the things need to be known about educating that son. The governor went and he governed the decision-making of that son. The son depended upon the tutor and the governor until the time appointed of the father, where he can take on the father's business. Just as Jesus Christ himself said when he was about 12 years old, when he said, when he got lost and Mary and Joseph went to find him, and he said, was not I been about my father's business? In other words, didn't you know I should be about my father's business? And he wasn't talking about carpentry business of Joseph. He was talking about God the Father's business. He was educating people in the temple there and confounding them. He was ready to take on his father's business, not being a servant, but a son. Now, again, verse 9 here says, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. And that's what happens when we place ourselves under these weak and beggarly elements. And we see this going on all over the world. People observing Ramadan and observing this day and that day and everything else that goes on. Can't eat meat on Fridays, and they're placing themselves under bondage. And Paul says, I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. And that's the way to feel onto you. When you're giving someone the truth, giving them the doctrine, and they turn right back around and go back out there in the world. And that's how we would, there'd be a sense of sorrow, as it is with us when we do our children. When our children, we give them everything we know, and then some. We want them to use everything we've given them, all the time, all the effort. We don't want that to be spent in vain. Everything we told them, and then they get out there and they make a crazy decision that affects them for life. And this is the way that God the Father would not have us to use His word in vain. And most do. Most don't want to cry out a father. They don't want the adoption. They don't want to be educated in Him and by Him and educated in Him. Let's go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians and let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, let's look at verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, Paul says here, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, Paul is, he's talking to mature saints here. And he's talking to saints, not explaining to them, well, just as you've been justified. He's explaining to these saints about what they received of Jesus Christ the Lord. And these things, what he's talking about is, he mentioned verses earlier about that sanctified walk, about things whereas he warned them of, and he taught them, and he to present them perfect in Christ. That perfecting, that is to be taught in them, that they are to walk by. And he says, rooted and built up in him, like edified. Rooted, when something's rooted, there's a foundation there. And he says, built up in him and established in the faith. You know, when you look at it, something that's established, that means there's a stabilizing effect taking place. It's not established, it's established in the faith, as ye have been taught. And he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and rudiments of the world, not to Christ. That's what happens when you allow yourself to be led by this world, be led by men, be led by their wisdom and vain deceit. And this is what he's explaining, how you can allow your sanctification to be put on hold or to be spoiled. Let's come down to verse 11. Verse 11, Colossians 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin, of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, and blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. There's a lot of information there. And what's being said here is that it's letting you know that you are to be led by the operation of God, what he has done for you. See, the circumcision and the baptism, those are operations with man's hands. And even though at that time when it was done in with the law, when that was done, it was a sanctification issue. It wasn't a justification issue. The baptism, the circumcision, those things were a sanctification issue with the nation of Israel. And like he says, blotting out the handwriting, the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. It didn't pertain to us. Took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. But again, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And something, when you quicken it, it's not just made alive, but it's made alive with a purpose, with an objective. So, and this is the reason why we've been forgiven all our trespasses, not just so we won't go to hell, but so we can live on to him as sons and daughters in Christ. Now come down to verse 16 here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in any meat or any drink or in respect of any holy day or any new moon or of the Sabbath days. You notice how the law is being used here? You can see more things about the law and what Paul calls it today. Even though, as we've seen in Romans chapter 7, that the law is holy and commandment is holy, just, and good. But there was nothing wrong with the law. It was something wrong with the man, Israel. There was nothing ever wrong with the law. It was something wrong with the man. Now, And in looking at what Paul says here, he's saying that when you are going through the Sabbath days or the holy days or the new moons, you bring yourself under bondage. The body is of Christ. And he's saying, let no man beguile you in your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which you have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And he's saying these things are shadow things to come. And he's explaining to you of that there's a difference between the things that men did in times past, things that are going to be to come, and then he's explaining what the issue is about now. It's about the body of Christ. And he's going to tell you about the body and how we ought to look upon things. Verse 19, he says, and not holding the head, from which all the body by the joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together. Increasing, see this here, this is the way it ought to be, how it ought to have been there. And that's the way the body can be built up. It can be built up because when we understand that Christ is the head of the body, not the tradition of men, not the commandments of men, not trying to live under Israel's law system. When you understand that, you can be nourished and ministered along with the increase with the body, with the increase of God. Verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to the ordinances? You notice the word there, subject? And we've seen, again, the words, the bondage, delivered, held. We want all these words that show that you can place yourself under bondage when you allow yourselves to be following that law and being led by it. And we're not under that spirit of bondage again to fear. And that would be a fear-motivated situation right there. And he says in verse 20 again, wherefore if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, and we are, why as though living in the world are you subject to the ordinances? And people, you find people today subject unto things. Again, we talked about some people go and they don't eat meat on Fridays. Some people feel they have to observe certain days and they feel that they have to do this on Sundays, or we can't work on Sunday because they feel that's the Sabbath day, which it's not, and we're told not to observe that anyway, even if it was. But Paul says, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. When Paul says all are to perish with the using, he's talking about the using of these things, the using of things of this world. And he says, well, they're not going to perish in a spiritual sense. That's a functional death, a functional perishing. He says, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Now, we know these men are going to get these commandments and doctrines out of the Bible. They're going to have big black books or burgundy, whatever, they're going to have big books, and they're going to be teaching out of God's word. But because it's not according to, they're not doing it rightly divided, it's their own commandments and doctrines. And you're going to perish, functionally perish. You're never going to bring forth functional fruit. And you could be doing things all day long. You can stay in church from sun up to sundown. But if you're not doing it the way God wants you to, you're going to functionally perish with the using. Now, let's verse 23. which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. That's all it's going to accomplish. It's going to be some will worship and humility, but it's going to be neglecting the body of Christ. You're not going to be holding the head, like verse 19 says, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, knit together, increases with the increase of God. Now let's come back to Romans chapter 8 here. We're going to look at verse 15 again. Well, we might as well go back to verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at the spirit of bondage again to fear. This is what we have not received the spirit of bondage to fear. What we have received is the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we're going to do next week. We're going to look at more thoroughly through the spirit of adoption and what all that entails, and crying out of a father. We're going to look at those things, but I want to do like a little introduction about that little time we have here. And we've seen in Colossians 2:6, when Paul says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." And when he talks about that receiving, we got to pay attention when we see Paul says what we have received. Because we have to know and understand and not be ignorant of what we have received. The spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We can sometimes not understand what all God has given us and made us to be in Christ. And therefore, we won't fully utilize it. And we have to look at that spirit of adoption and count ourselves worthy to want to be ones to be educated by him, to want to be ones who will live unto him and be what he calls us to be as his one new man, the one new creature, members of one another, the church of the body of Christ. And this is all, everything you do when you get to this point here, you're going to be doing this for the rest of your life. You're going to be that son and daughter in Christ and living unto him, and not only just doing what you're doing here, because see, Paul also, not just Paul, but any other saint in the body of Christ, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, they all follow the same milk to meat process. God's not going to give one saint more education than he's given to another saint. We all have the capability to be taught and educated in the same manner. And I know some would say, well, wait a minute, you know, before the book of Romans was written, there was Galatians and Thessalonians and Corinthians. They didn't have the book of Romans. Well, they didn't have to have the book of Romans, because they were educated the same with the same doctrines. Paul took the Corinthians and he educated them with the same foundational babe milk doctrine. Of course, he couldn't give them Romans 12 and letting them, where they would be able to, as Paul says in Romans 12, present their bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. They were still being straightened in their own bowels. They were being babes in Christ. Galatians were being foolish. And they were called fool. Being called foolish is different from being, say, bewitched. You know, when you look at a child, it can become bewitched. Ones that's foolish is is being told on, is being said about a saint who is more, a little bit older. Because when you look at the Proverbs talks about fools despise wisdom. And that's the way God looks upon a child. That's not, that looks upon wisdom in a despising way. You know, we see our children, they say, oh, I can't stand to go to school. I don't want to go to school. And, you know, that's a little bit different from being educated by a tutor than being educated by your parent. Because a lot of stuff that comes with the schooling, kids can sometimes make that up. They can end up, if they fail algebra, they can make that back up. Well, when you get your mother and father's education that we give onto them, sometimes the consequences are too severe, where it's at their own risk or peril. We can tell them not to do certain things, and these things can end up becoming something that can end up leading to their own destruction. And this is what we're being told here. This is what we're being told, what God the Father is telling the saints in Christ, that you don't want to be a saint who is a fool. You don't want to be one that despises wisdom. And this is, and when he says this, he explains, even in Romans chapter 8 here, that you're not a debtor to your flesh, but you ought to be a debtor unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, unto the Father. That's why he says in verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that's a functional death. And this is what when we look at this, we have to look at it the same way we would judge our children, how we would want our children to want to receive, to cry, to come to us and say, oh, mother or father, I've gotten so much from our last talk. Can you, what was that you were telling me again? Or what do I do now? Or give me more. Where they're being educated. And when you see and just crying with excitement that I want to be educated by you, I want to know more of your will, that's a son and daughter that you're going to say, this is my son or daughter in whom I am well pleased. When they get out there and they take what you applied, and, you know, when you see them do something in life, when they get older, you'll say to yourself, I would have done it the exact same way. And that's what sonship is all about. That we can be ones that when we come to our Father in prayer, we come to him and we let him know how his word is taking effect within us, how his word is not taking effect in us, that we would want to know more. We want to be educated more. That we have a zeal, the same zeal we had when we first learned about right division. When we first learned the fact that, wait a minute, I'm justified now. I'm no longer a sinner in that sin, in that wretched, sinful state that I was in. And this is what we ought to rejoice about. We ought to rejoice that we can be now led by the Father in being adult sons and daughters in Christ, where we can be ones who, we got to remember, he's wants to conform us to the image of his Son. And that's not done halfway, where we say, okay, we're justified, and, you know, I'll go to church every Sunday or Wednesday or whatever the case may be, and just open the Bible when the pastor says, okay, please turn your Bibles to this page so-and-so. But be ones that are wanting to get the education. Can't put it down. Just like a novel you get that it starts getting good and you can't put it down. Or a TV show, you can't wait till next week. Or sports, then you can't wait till Super Bowl time or the World Series. That's how we ought to have the same zeal and the same willingness to want to know more about his education. And we ought to know, anytime we open this book, there ought to be something new that pops up where we're learning, where we're learning his will, we're being educated. Sometimes we can read over the verses, but we need to let the verses read us and understand that the living words that we read, that the living God, he wants that to live within us as being sons and daughters in Christ. Now, with that, I'm going to close, and I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. And again, next week we're going to be looking at the issue of the spirit of adoption and crying Abba Father. We're going to look at that because that's where the son actually understands who his teacher is and why he wants to get that education, what's his motivating factor to cry Abba Father. And that's what we're going to look at. So again, I'm open. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue, and we're going to see what all this means to have that spirit of adoption, and or not have that spirit of adoption. And we'll go to the first caller here, 3366. You're in the queue.
How you doing, Ron? Jones, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing there, my friend? How you been?
Great, yourself? Yes, getting edified on the adoption of the song that you was teaching in and the main story that I did of tonight of your teach is Romans chapter 14, where about crying Abba Father, and connecting it up with Colossians 2:7, which is that way. Two, seven, being rooted and built up in him and establish the faith, you know, and that's how we have to be established and be rooted and grounded up in him. And Romans 6:14 was sin. It don't say sin does not have, don't have dominion on you. The sin shall not have dominion over you. So it can have dominion over you if you're alive, for it do have dominion over you.
That's right. That is exactly right. That is exactly 100% right there, yes. Yeah. That is, and it's something, when we look at the God's word here, we have to understand each little word makes a difference. Some might not think it does, but there's little words, like when you're looking at that, Romans 6, verse 14.
Yeah.
And some people, that's under the law, and under grace. Mm-hmm. That one word under, that makes a difference, and it does, because that's how you're going to be, that's what you're under bondage, or what you're serving, or what you're being led by.
Mm-hmm.
And to say we're under grace, we understand something different. We're under grace. That's something you ought to be following. That's something that is not just grace given on you, where you're being the receiver. It's not just you being the receiver of it, because with the law, you're not just receiving. You're asked to do something. You're asked to give something. So that's the same way it is with grace there. as always, I do appreciate you, your comments and things like that. I really do.
Yes, I know I missed the conference and everything, and try to see if you can send me them DVDs. I need some for shipping and handle. If you could send me them DVDs, could y'all tape it? I know y'all had a great time.
Yeah, it was a big turnout, nice turnout, very big
turnout.
Nice. But there was no video recording that I know. I can send you the audio.
The audio, that's great.
Yeah, If you have an email address, I can send you the audio. I can get that information for you from you later on, because she's in the process of sending the email. She sent out two of the pastors, Art Johnson from Chicago and Daryl Cavanis. He's from Muskegon, Michigan. She sent that out today. Tomorrow she's going to be sending two more out. It'll probably be Pastor Wheaton and Pastor Shepherd's.
Okay.
More than likely.
Okay.
Yeah, but I can get all that to you. You can send me your email address or text it to me, or you can tell it to me, and you know, or however, and I'll get that information to you.
Okay, but the email, just text it. I don't know how to text. You probably can do it like you did last year, and just
call.
I mean, with my address, if you still got it, send it like that in the mail if you can.
Okay. That'll work.
That's how you did last time. Yeah. And if it costs anything like for shipping and handling, I can pay that. If it costs anything.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. But yeah, okay.
You can buy my address and everything. You can just send it to my house like you did last time. I appreciate it.
Okay, great. And that's what I'll do. I'll wait till they all come in then. And I'll burn them down and things like that. Okay.
Well, I sure appreciate you teaching Pastor Ron and everything and still learning from it and sharing it with others, you know, and that is so what I need anyway, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. I thank you for listening in. Thank you, Sister Teresa. I'll talk to you later on now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Cal, next call is 4391, Sister Janice, you're in the queue.
Praise the Lord. Give a shout out to Sister Teresa. Praise the Lord, Pastor Ryan. I was just thinking about what Sister Teresa said, and about 10, not having dominion over us, but we have a choice to walk in sin or not. I mean, it's not that we should, but if we did, it don't mean that it has dominion over us because we choose to walk in it.
Right. But what it does is it keeps you where you're steadily, instead of you using that time that you spent doing that, you could have been utilizing that time in victory unto the Father, in serving in newness of spirit, and serving in grace, in righteousness. So, yeah, if and when we sin, sure, we're not, it's not going to affect our justification, but with our sanctification, we're not bringing forth fruit unto God, but we're bringing fruit unto death. And we should not ought to want to do that. Like with our children, we know they can go out there and get this world and do drugs and everything else this world has to offer. And then we would rather that they would not do that, or if they did, they put those things off, and it's not bringing forth fruit onto us when they respond that way. So that's almost in a similar sense there, in being we're not under the law, but under grace.
Because God's word is not going to change for us. Now,
right.
We will
right.
change, but God's word must stand.
Right, exactly.
So if it says we don't have dominion, it don't have dominion. Well, it's our choice. The children of Israel had a choice to obey or not to obey Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And they
mm-hmm.
disobeyed, but God's word stood.
That's right.
It's not going to change. It's going to say what it say all day, every day, till we out of here.
Yeah,
it's not
going
to change. Mm-hmm. Well, that's my comment for today.
Well, I appreciate it. I know everyone else does too, because again, your amplification on the verses they help. They help because some things you see or the way you see it, maybe some might. Maybe I'm not saying in a manner where they can accept it, you know. So it does help. It does help when you your comments does help.
Right.
And I thank you for listening in and your comments. I appreciate that,
thank
Sister
you.
Janice. I do.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, and that's how we need to understand things, because we need to understand that what we are led by We are led by the Spirit. We are under grace. We are led by the grace motivating thing, the factor to produce grace within us, where we can fulfill the law of God, the law there in part of that of chapter 15 there. And we're going to see who God has made us to be as being ones that received.